Next, we'll hear from Judge Jim Brandlin reporting on Riverside County Superior Court.
Thank you, Chief. I visited the Riverside Superior Court on May the 24th, and I met with the presiding judge, Mark Cope, the assistant presiding judge, Harold Hopp, executive officer, Sherry Carter, and most of the judicial officers of the Riverside Superior Court were engaged in a training session at the Marietta Courthouse. I found them to be engaging, an intelligent, and thoughtful group of bench officers. As we all know, the Riverside Superior Court is a severely under-resourced court. Their population and workload has expanded at a much faster rate than most of the courts in California. There are 2.2 million people who reside in Riverside County, and according to the AOC's judicial workload analysis in December of 2012, they had a total of 76 judicial officers and should have had 138 judicial officers, which is 62 fewer than what they should have had based on their workload data. They had a deficit that exceeded $20 million and have had to lay off employees, cut hours, close courtrooms, and courthouses just to make ends meet. Currently, they are down 5 judicial positions that are authorized and funded. While that number of vacant judge positions may not seem like a lot in LA, it represents approximately 10% of their allocated judge workforce, which is half of what they should have based on their workload. Riverside is a large and somewhat rural county that's been hard hit by the Great Recession and the dramatic cuts in the judicial budget. In the last 5 years, they've had to close 3 courthouses, namely Autry, Corona, and Hawthorne, and just recently they had to close the Temecula facility, resulting in long travels for their residents to obtain judicial services. Their judicial officers are a hardy bunch, but they have fears that because they've done an incredible job struggling to keep their heads above water for so long, that somehow our sister branches of government will think that this workload is now doable and this will become the new norm. They are concerned for their staff in handling a caseload far above their capacity. They are appreciative of the support they have received from the AOC and the Judicial Council, but they did have questions, concerns, and some criticisms. The judges wanted to know why, despite the fact that they are a severely under-resourced court, they must wait 5 years or more for more equitable funding under the new funding model. They wanted to know whether at the end of the 5 years, they would be capped at 50% of the historic model and 50% of the new model, or they would continue to receive additional funding. I gave my opinion that the unanimous agreement of all judicial council members and the recommendation of the advisory committee that recommended this funding model, we all recognize the struggle to balance equities and prepare courts for the significant shift in judicial branch allocations, and that accelerating the process much faster would not provide those courts that would receive less funding with adequate time for adjustments. They wanted to know how much additional new funding revenue the judicial branch would need to receive in order to provide 100% funding under the new allocation model. This was a question I was not qualified to answer, but fortunately, I knew this question was coming, so I asked Judge Earle for her opinion, and I was told it was approximately $700 to $800 million in new funding to the branch to be able to provide 100% funding under the new allocation model. While the new funding model will help Riverside, it alone will not provide complete restoration for the severe cuts they have felt over the last 5 years or their significant increase in caseload. There was some concern on the part of several of their judicial officers that the Judicial Council may be slightly tone-deaf in its decision to approve a telecommuting policy when courts across the state are laying off employees. I explained that there was some disagreement in the boardroom over this subject, and that, in my opinion, the decision to permit the telecommuting policy to move forward was because the new policy was much more restrictive. and provided greater oversight than the previous ad hoc policy. In addition, the new proposal required approval by the department head and the administrative director for each individual employee who requested it. Also, this proposal was adopted as a pilot project that required the ADOC to provide the council with periodic reviews, including one that we just recently received, and a final report which must provide a justified business model for continuing the policy after 1 year. The Riverside judges asked the council to seek assistance from the executive branch by having the governor expeditiously fill the 5 judge vacancies as soon as possible. They're all also asking for help in priority assignments from the assigned judges program and staff support to assist those assigned judges. Lastly, it was pointed out to me that they have 29 open special circumstances potential death penalty cases in a county with only 55 authorized judges. And they also have a need for the creation of complex civil courts to process their caseload. I would ask this council and the AOC to provide the Riverside Superior Court with any and all assistance that we can. In closing, I want to say that first, when I retire as a judge in 4 to 5 years, I would be honored to sit as an assigned judge with this group of dedicated judicial officers. And lastly, that I hope they will allow me back in their county now that LA has enticed their incredible executive officer, Sherry Carter, to work for LA's team. That concludes my report. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Brandlin.